Everybody who watches this show knows we like to be very dramatic, but we've been framing it as 30 days to save the soul of Gaelic football, and that's what's coming up next at Congress. I'm delighted to say Conor Donoghue is with us from the GAA Fixtures Task Force. Conor, we do hype things up here for crack mostly, but actually this feels very important, that if the GAA makes the right decision here, then all sorts of new things are unleashed. And it seems like mostly positive forces will be unleashed if the right decision is made at Congress. We had Tony McEntee on last week, and obviously he speaks as somebody who's steeped in Armagh football, but also now a manager of a lower division team. And he said the biggest concern from his perspective about getting Proposal B over the line was financial, that there was going to be a negative impact. Somehow the story's getting out there that there's going to be a negative impact on the finances of the provinces. Can you maybe, as somebody who understands exactly how this would work, explain to us about the financial benefits or otherwise of what would happen if Proposal B went forward?
Yeah, I've heard that a couple of times, Ger, and it's not true. I suppose in the first instance, there's a raft of games that'll move from the winter months to the summer months. There's going to be 112 summer championship games, which I suppose from a county's perspective is going to bring huge benefits straight away. First of all, in terms of bums on seats coming through the turnstiles, every county's guaranteed 3 or 4 championship games in their home venue. So there's a raft of commercial benefits that flow from that, both for the county and the association as a whole. Obviously, we know the association is experiencing financial difficulties because of COVID. It's no secret. So there is a requirement really from all of us to consider the financial implications of anything that happens as well. And from a county's perspective, and there's a phrase I hate to use, this is a no-brainer, to be perfectly honest with you. Again, those couple of games in the summer, they bring so many commercial advantages, even in terms of season ticket sales and various other things, in terms of, I suppose, sponsorship, in terms of getting that promotion, those consistent promotion opportunities for counties that want to and aspire to build stadiums, improve their stadia. The financials look completely different when you've got that guaranteed flow of games. So, and it's just besides anything to do with the competitiveness, anything you want to talk about in terms of the improved football, in terms of teams of equal standing playing against each other, from a financial perspective and a little bit of work done on it, it's really something we need to consider very, very hard, irrespective of any other facet of the proposal.
So just go into as much detail about this as you want. It would actually be hugely financially beneficial to go forward with this.
Yeah, absolutely. Because what's happened over the last couple of years is in the early noughties, the provincial championships were, you know, big ticket games, and particularly Dublin and everything that they brought and others, there was so much at stake, so little in any of the games that you went into, that provincial coffers would have been really, really full from the game. There would have been huge attendance at the games. That has gone into dramatic reverse over the last couple of years. And provincial numbers are down 30, 40, 50, 60% from where they were a number of years ago. Now, obviously, the latter stage of the championship, again, we see those fantastic contests that people want to go to. But people are steering away from the provincial championships because of these, I suppose, brutal mismatches. It's just not sport. People don't want to see it. So, again, when we've got these contests where there's, I suppose, a small amount between the teams on any given day, people are fascinated by those contests and they go to them, and the attendances are larger. And we know for certain as well that, as I say, in the summer months, it makes a huge difference in terms of the gate for any given day, because clearly, you know, the big days in Killarney and Castlebar and all of that, when there's two teams of equal stature playing against each other, it gets such a bigger gate. So
what we're talking about here is on a Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening, Sunday afternoon, there would be 16 games of football, yeah, where there's uncertainty of outcome, essentially, maybe not in all 16, but in 14 or 16 of them, in local venues right around the country. So Newbridge is full, Hyde Park is full, Markovic Park is full, Clonus is full, Limerick in the Gaelic grounds. Okay, maybe the Gaelic grounds isn't full for the footballers just yet, but maybe if Kerry are playing, well, Kerry won't be playing. Okay, so yeah, but like we're talking about a slew of games where, and when you start to picture that, you go, okay, so it has a benefit to the towns, the provincial towns. Yeah. It has a benefit to the county for that. Why are the provincial councils less sure about their place in the financial hierarchy. I don't really understand how that whole...
Yeah, so again, I'm not part of the hierarchy, just to be clear on that. I was part of this task force. I was brought in. I was. My background is I was involved in some club restructure in Meath, and possibly as a result of that, I was brought onto this task force. So, I mean, I'm not part of the hierarchy, to be frank with you, but in term, I do know a little bit about it. And from a provincial, I suppose, leadership perspective, they possibly feel a little threatened in terms of their place in the association. I think they're mistaken. I know some of them. They are good people, to be frank, and to be honest with you. But I believe they're mistaken about this. And they are obviously, you know, behind the scenes lobbying to prevent this change. And I'd really love them to reconsider. I mean, I think even from a provincial perspective, you think about the early part of the year, there's at least 2.5 times as many games for each province as there is now. So, you know, you go from 9 to 27 in Leinster in terms of games. Will the attendances be the same? Probably not.
They might be. They might be, though.
But on an overall basis, I suspect they might be that and exceed it. And
I made the point that, it's in my memory where there is a huge crowd in Newbridge celebrating Kildare winning the Auberon Cup because we were so starved of success. Yeah. I suspect that if Kildare were playing Dublin in Newbridge, that would be as full as they can jam the people in. And that might happen in this instance. That game won't automatically be in Croke Park. And it's the same for everybody for the provincial championships. We're actually... I think you could market that and we'll be starved of intercounty football for 5 months. So, of course, I think there's going to be an interest in that.
Absolutely, I believe the same as well, and it's constructed with that in mind. I mean, as you say, there's going to be a huge gap between the All-Ireland final and the next competitive county championship game. So there will be huge interest, and I know that will be the case. That will be the case in Meath as well. So I mean, just from a provincial perspective, I really think they should reconsider. The one thing I suppose for the provincial chiefs to consider a little bit is that, as I say, those 112 championship games in the summer. Are going to generate significant revenue, very, very, very significant revenue. And if I was, from a provincial background in terms of leadership or whatever, I would be having a different conversation. I'd be having the conversation, well, there is a big revenue pot there and we need to talk about that. And, you know, we would like to, I suppose, if we're going to be in the business of distributing funds for whatever we do in terms of coaching and other things, we have our own pool in terms of provincial monies coming in at the start of the year, but we'd like to be part of the conversation for that 112 as well. I just think maybe they're missing a trick a little bit on this, and that might lessen the threat that perhaps they feel on some of this stuff, you know, because the bottom line is this is going to be a bigger cake. And to be fair, again, the GA redistributes everything back through the association, and there's different ways they do that, clearly, and it can be quite complex in terms of the gate receipts. It's 15% for a Leinster Championship game that goes to the county, 20% for a National League, and there's pools that are then generated which redistribute. There's block grants. It's very, very complex in the way that funds are redistributed, and there will be a funding discussion separate to this no matter what happens. I just feel that there's going to be a bigger cake if this comes through financially. And let's have the discussion about that. Let's sit down and think about what's best for the association, because it would be much better if the association as a whole got behind this. And again, there's huge respect, even deference to provincial chiefs, and they deserve that, to be fair, the good guys, as I say. But that perhaps is holding us back a little bit here. And there is a very specific dynamic that operates within the GAA, and it's just trying to work around that, which I think is important.
What do you mean by the specific dynamic? The hierarchy?
Yeah, well, I just think the provincial, the provinces hold a very central place in the decision-making process, naturally enough, you would say. And there is a question as to whether could we look more closely at the interests of the association as a whole and make that decision that's best for everyone. And I think that's really where we need to go with this, to be perfectly honest with you.
Could I just ask in that context, because Proposal A is also on the table, and this is the redistributing of counties from one province to another. Surely the people, the chiefs and the provinces aren't going to go for this either. Like, this being on the table is a bit of a strange thing. I haven't seen too many people saying that this is the option. It's either Proposal B or nothing.
Yeah, so I mean, I was in the room and we had so many meetings about this as well. So Option A came up through. There's a neatness to it. 4x8, the provinces are retained. Things are more or less as they were with a round robin, and you get a particular number of games and all of that. but it didn't really survive contact with reality, because obviously counties end up getting maybe shoveled out a little bit of where they're at, and it's the weakest counties that end up going into to Munster and Connacht, two provinces that perhaps need strengthening in some respects, because they're already, they've already got, let's say in Munster, Kerry, who dominate the rest, and that distorts that competition further. So again, there's a certain neatness to it, but it hasn't survived contact with reality and truth, and I'm not sure that anyone is seriously considering it anymore, to be honest with you.
Is there time to take it off the table?
I mean, it could. That's a matter, obviously, for Central Council and for management to consider. If there are no backers of that and there's no one advocating for it seriously, probably, yeah.
Because one of our concerns is that a county board delegate who is mandated to go to Congress gets mandated to vote for Plan A instead of Plan B, and then can't actually vote on Plan B and abstains for Plan B, and so 10 or 15 or 20% are suddenly taken out of the pool of potential voters in the second one, and therefore reaching the 60%, suddenly you've actually got to reach 80 or 90%. If that was just gone, and if what was left for Congress was, do we want change or do we want the status quo? Mm. That's kind of the debate we should be having, isn't it?
I think that's true. Now, one of the things to reflect on is that, in the mechanics of it, the way it's going to go is option A will go up first. It must get 60% or otherwise. If it doesn't, it then goes to option B. So they can vote for A and B in that environment, but I absolutely accept the point that that is adding confusion that's perhaps unnecessary given the huge nature of the decision that's at hand here.
Yeah, and if, look, who knows what. Sometimes publicly people are told to go and vote for one thing and then something else happens along the way. You want to make it as straightforward as possible, and so that the debate over the next couple of weeks, publicly at least, is like, well, what are our options? Our options are for this, which isn't even that revolutionary. It's to take the same system that exists in every single county and to apply that to intercounty. Because this isn't that radical a move, really, when you think about it. It's using the knowledge that we've gained from the successful running of our club championships and applying that to the intercounty, and then allowing everybody to benefit from seeing everybody play against each other.
Absolutely. I just make one point as well. I mean, to be fair to county board officers and delegates, they're often frazzled by decisions like this, and they're separately completely frazzled at the moment in terms of county finances. Absolutely under serious pressure, worried about it, worried about the cost of the county game, worried about the mismatch between assets and cash coming in and cash going out. This proposal can help that as well a great deal, because if you get those funds in at the start of the year, so you can sell season tickets, for example, much more readily, which is a really massive source of revenue for Mayo and Dublin in particular, because they've got huge season ticket holders. The reason they have those season ticket holders is because they've been able to consistently almost guarantee their fans those games every year. If you're in another county, you're looking back and saying, nah, I'll buy my tickets on a per match basis, because that's the reality of the situation we faced over the last couple of years. So if a county gets all of those funds in at the start of the year, when the county expenses tend to overwhelm a county, that solves huge problems for counties on a short-term basis. So, I mean, I just feel again that counties, forget about the competition side, which is critical. Forget about all the stuff about tradition for one second or anything else. From a financial perspective, if you're a county board officer, this solves a huge amount of your problems, or the problems that you've been facing and the problems that you're likely to face. So from a financial perspective, this is something they really need to consider very hard in isolation, apart from any other considerations they might have around this.
Does the GAA Fixtures Task Force still exist? Are you still a body?
It hasn't been abolished, as it were, but we haven't met in the last while. So what happened was this: in recent weeks, as I understand, the CCC presented to provincial administrative officers. That was the communication that was there in the last couple of weeks. But no, as a body, we haven't met. Recently, we've met in quite some time. So
So your work is done as a committee, essentially, and obviously there were two proposals put forward. So it's safe to assume that there wasn't uniformity of opinion. You know, not everybody would agree with you, for example, who was on that committee.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm speaking absolutely in a personal capacity here, just to be perfectly clear. We haven't got any direction that we shouldn't do that or can't do that or anything like that. I'm obviously passionate about the change that I feel is required. So I'm going to go out and speak about it. To be fair, the committee again was some of the finest minds, to be honest with you, again in the GAA, that know this inside out. They know fixtures inside out. So there was some really lively debates on that front. And no, not everyone would agree with my view. That's not a great surprise.
It should be in a way.
Absolutely, yeah.
But you
yeah.
get to a scenario. And
I mean, you have to be fair to John Horan, as the previous Uachtaráin, he brings in someone like me. I've nothing to do with any of the of the either counties, provinces, or anything like that. I just was a part of, a reform committees, etc. in Meath. Also coming from the floor and not part of any. So there was a little bit of bravery in that. He brought the CPA in and they stepped away. The GPA were there, so there was a real wide variety of views, and some of the discussions were tasty, and that's as it should be. And ultimately, we arrived at a set of recommendations. There's a raft of them have already gone through. This is the final piece, and obviously the most important one. And there's two proposals up. I do think one of those proposals hasn't really received any sort of significant backing. There's now this proposal, option B, which is receiving from players, from managers, from a number of counties, serious backing for lots of different reasons. But I suppose the two central reasons that people will back this is because it's going to transform the actual competitive nature. This is going to be an incredibly attractive game to watch on a consistent basis in a way that it's not at the moment. So the competitive tiered nature of it. And the second aspect, which obviously I've spoken about this morning, is the financial aspect. And there's a huge imperative in a way that there wasn't even when we finished our committee because of the COVID crisis and the damage that's been done to coffers at county level and at national level. So there's two massive drivers here, and we all need to consider these very, very carefully as we move forward.
Yeah,
like you mentioned John Horan there, and there is a school of thought out there that were he still to be Uachtaráin, he would be in favour of this. We're not sure of that, but that seems to be the sense out there. How important is it that somebody like John Horan, whether it's Larry McCarthy or Tom Ryan, comes out in support of this? Because, as you say, Congress is a strange place, and sometimes you do need the political manoeuvrings. And having someone like Pádraig Duffy standing over the Super 8s is essentially why it got in. So that's the next step in this. I think that the case has been made. It's the next political step that's really important.
Yeah, so, I mean, John has clearly gone on the record a number of times about what his view on this is. And again, he doesn't make any secret of that. He feels League as Championship is based on everything the way forward. To be fair to the current Uachtaráin, Larry, and I know him, and he's a very good guy as well, to be fair, he set out his agenda in his opening address as well and made the same point. He also said that he feels that it should come in with a 3-year trial period. And I would have no problem with that whatsoever if that were the case. So, yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that having a very vociferous and, I suppose, active advocate base from Central, from Croke Park, does help things. And yeah, look, it's from Tom and Larry's perspective, two good people, two people working really hard, and worked with them on the committee as well. So they will have their own sensitivities and various other things to think about and to manage as well, to be honest. That's the reality of it. That's the reality of GAA politics. But yes, the stronger the voice from Croke Park for change, the more likely it is to take place.
In your view, where are we at the moment? How likely or otherwise? The 60% is a magic number on the day. What's your, if this was American politics, we'd be talking about the electoral college system going, which of the red states have to turn blue here?
You're looking for a CNN wall up here, which we might need to get over the next couple of weeks. My sense is that as discussions begin to really take place, is the awareness around this is growing. What you guys are doing is really important. I think that players generally are almost universally in favour. I suspect that they will be making their view known. And the more they make their view known to their county executive, the more likely their view is going to be taken on board. My understanding is that there's a number of player groups from Division 1 to Division 4, some very significant player groups, have had a discussion, sat down and decided this is where we want to be, this is the environment we want to be in, and they're making their views known to their county executive. On top of that, clearly there will be phone calls made by provincial councils into county board officers, and those two forces are meeting each other as we speak. And where it lands, I don't know, but I would be cautiously optimistic that this can pass.
I think the money point that you made is hugely important, and if you have to assume that if we recognise, and then it's recognised centrally, that this is beneficial financially to the organisation, that those conversations must be happening back channel at the moment, and a public pronouncement will be made closer to the time when there's confidence that it will carry. I think that's, I hope, what's going on in the background at the moment.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, what I'd love to see is, I mean, I really, really believe that if the provincial chiefs sat down and considered this and reflected this from an association basis, and even from their own perspective, I really believe that if they considered and analysed the facts as they are, and even likely to be from their own perspective, financially or otherwise, I do believe that they would make the same call. I know that, I suppose, the specific geography where there is concentrated suspicion about it is clearly Ulster. And I absolutely get that, because the Ulster Championship has been a championship that's worked. The other three haven't. Connacht now and again. The other two are gone. So I suppose from an Ulster perspective, and from talking to really good people in Ulster, they're saying, look, we've an Ulster Championship here. We're loath to lose it, so we think we should push on with that. And I suppose what I'm saying to those people is that that is, in effect, you're almost separating out. Ironically, you've got a partitionist view almost, in terms of you're putting a championship that's not working well, or a system that's working really poorly for so many people, on the rest of us. Just ask them to be, you know, to think about the bigger picture as well. Because
just on that, Conor, yeah, like there is a world in which something very good can become great. Mm. Like, all they've got to do is look at the Munster Hurling Championship, which was the best thing in Gaelic games. The Munster Hurling Championship changed its format, and it is now even better than it already was. So is that not a possibility for the Ulster Championship?
Yeah, I mean, it is. Absolutely it is. And the reality is, at the start of the year, all eyes will be on Ulster because of the nature of their championship when that kicks off. I mean, will I be going up to Clonus or Down or whatever? I will. And that's what I do. I go to these games because I love to watch contests. And in my view, right or wrong, Gaelic football is the best game in the world when it's played in that nature. Unfortunately, it's also the worst game to watch in the world when there's these brutal mismatches. Again, like watching baby seals get clubbed, it's absolutely horrendous to watch. Whereas when there's a fantastic contest like the Ulster Championship early in the year, whatever it is, we're all compelled to look at it. We're just drawn to it. And that will be the case, I'm sure, as well. Now, the players in Ulster have a different view, as I understand, to some of the executives. So,
and some of the managers as well. Like, we had Tony, obviously Tony McEntee isn't managing in Ulster County at the moment, but he is steeped in Ulster football. He understands exactly the value of being the best team in Ulster over a period of time. And he's got, I think, as many as anybody alive, potentially, those Armagh lads have as many Ulster titles as anybody. And it's like, do you know what? I'm not sure if you went in and surveyed all of them that they would want the status quo to remain.
I think in Ulster as well, there's an awareness that they're actually hugely disadvantaged because of their strength, because it's so much more difficult to come out versus some of the other counties that are there. I mean, Tyrone are facing into this year. They will, by far and away, if there's no change, be the least likely of all of the existing four semi-finalists to come through, even though they're the champions, given the nature of Ulster and the random nature of a knockout day on any given day in Clonus or whatever. So,
They're
uniquely disadvantaged by that. So again, I'd ask them to consider and to reflect and to talk to the players and ask them their view on this. There are some players, I'm sure, that have a different view, and that's the nature of a debate like this. But from my perspective, when you analyse all the various factors that are at play, as I say, there's two pieces here that make this a compelling argument: the competitive nature of what it brings, the tiered system, and it kills all those brutal mismatches that we've seen. And the second thing is the financial. Those 2 points alone are the two key factors, I believe, that people should consider when they make a decision on what structures should be there for next year.
All right, Conor, I think everybody in the studio is definitely in agreement with you. We're dying to find somebody on the other side of it. We have an open invitation to anybody who wants to make the case for the status quo remaining, because that's essentially what will happen. It'll be a variation of the status quo minus probably the Super 8s, because the season is condensed. So even the status quo could be going back to just the qualifiers, which we all agreed 5 years ago was no good, and the wheels of change have been turning pretty slowly. Thanks a million for joining us this morning. It was really important to get that perspective through.